Good morning, Marsh Chapel. Good morning. Yeah, good morning. Well, 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 here we are again. Another summer has passed, and another fall semester here at Boston University and Marsh Chapel has begun. Before we go on any further, I want to echo the dean's remarks and make sure we give a special welcome to all these students that are here at worship today. Whether you are a Marsh Chapel veteran who has been worshiping with us throughout your time at BU, or if this is your first or second time sitting in these pews, you are most welcome here today. Whether you are an undergraduate or a graduate student, whether you're beginning your first year or entering into your last, welcome. Welcome to a place that, as the dean would like to, likes to remind us very often, strives to be a heart for the heart of the city and a service in the service of the city. I pray that you will be able to find that here. Now, the past 2 weeks on campus have been exciting, to say the least. If you are a student, I'm sure you have felt this feeling. Students moving onto campus, either for the first time or maybe the last, a mix of ecstatic reunions and sparkling summer updates, along with heartfelt goodbyes and tearful see-you-laters. The start of classes, academic assignments, and group discussions, accented with a plethora of free food and lawn games, disco dance parties, and even a rodeo shark ride. Seriously, you should have been here at the BU Beach last week after service. And I'm sure that even of those who are here in the chapel or joining us virtually, remotely, and don't live near the epicenter of a university, have felt the changes of the new school season. Maybe you have children or grandchildren, and now the days are filled with pickups and drop-offs and stories of all the things they have learned at school. Or maybe your once easy summertime commute is now congested with school time traffic. Regardless of where we live or what we do, we have all felt the heartbeat of the school year set a new rhythm in our day-to-day lives. This rhythm and beat of a new school year feels particularly special to me for two reasons. First, this school year marks my second academic year here at BU, so while things feel very chaotic at times, I'm starting to settle in, find the groove of things, and so for that, I'm very thankful. But the second reason, the more important reason that this school year feels really special to me, is because 2024 marks 10 years since I started college myself. 10 years ago, I was a freshman too. I found myself in a new place, Davidson College, surrounded by all these new people. I remember my mind was racing as it tried to take in all the change and newness around me. Like so many people who have gone to college or found themselves in a totally new environment before, I was anxious, I was a bit frightened at everything. Would I make friends? Am I going to take the right classes? Will I find a good work-study job? Will I have time for club activities? Am I going to remember to call my parents? Maybe. But little did I know that I had taken the first steps on a journey that would lead me to do things, meet people, and go to places I had never dreamed of or thought of before then. A journey that would both challenge and strengthen my understandings of the world and of myself. When I look back at that 18-year-old Jonathan, I can't help but smile as I think about all that I've been through and all that I've learned in the decades since I first stepped foot at college. So, with that in mind, I thought, for all the students and, of course, for all the students at heart here at worship with us today, I thought, let's take this opportunity to run through 10 things, let's say 10 pieces of advice that I would give to 18-year-old Jonathan from 10 years ago as he starts his college journey. Now, let me preface by saying this list of 10 things certainly isn't comprehensive, and I do not claim that following them is a key to success in college or life. In fact, some of my points might even seem to contradict each other. I can't say that I have followed all of these things to the letter as well, but that can be a discussion for after the service. For now, let's get started. Number one, the first thing I would say to my younger self is to stop playing the comparison game and accept that everyone is moving through college and through life at their own pace. I remember my first week of classes in college and sitting in the dorm room common area with my hall mates And we were all talking about how classes were going. One guy in particular spoke loudly and proudly about how much reading he had to do and how challenging his courses were going to be and how he wasn't going to have much time to play around. It's ridiculous to think now, but I remember being like jealous of him and his assignments and wondering if I was in the wrong classes since I had nothing to do that night and maybe I was taking the easy way out. This feeling as though your abilities or achievements are inconsequential compared to others, also known as imposter syndrome, runs rampant in places like colleges and universities where everyone is trying to prove themselves. Unfortunately, imposter syndrome exists wherever you go. The truth is that just because someone might read or write more than you do, just because they sound more eloquent or have ideas that people seem to listen to, just because they seem to have more friends or go to more parties than you, does not mean that you're behind or doing something wrong. Things take time, people grow, move, and do things as it is right for them. Something that I've done that has helped me calm down and work through these moments of comparison is to nurture a practice of gratitude. I ask myself, what am I thankful for? Sometimes all we need to realize where we are, all we need to realize where we are, is to look back at how far we've come. When life gets messy, when things start to change or aren't going according to plan, take a moment to take stock of where you are and find something to be grateful for. Number two, when you're registering for classes, take some extra time, maybe like 30 minutes or so, to look through all the available courses and find one or two fun classes. By fun classes, I don't mean easy classes or gimme classes. I mean a class that, while it might not match your major or your immediate post-college goals, it's a class that still interests you and makes you excited to take it. Maybe it's a class about a random topic you've always been interested. Maybe it's a class that lets you use a different part of your brain. Bonus points if this class satisfies your general ed or your hub requirements. Sure, not all of these classes will be exciting or life-changing, but you never know what kind of pathways these classes will take you. For myself, example, when I went to college and throughout my time, I was an environmental studies major. I worked on farms, I did a lot with agriculture, but an interest in religion first led me to first taking one religious studies class and then another and then declaring a religion minor. This evolved into interest in theological studies. Suddenly I'm at seminary and now I've begun this career in ministerial chaplaincy. College is a time to explore all kinds of fields and studies, so take advantage of it. Number three. Now, this is an actual piece of advice that I got before I started college, and you are welcome to take this as literally or as figuratively as you can, or if you want to. But it's this. Always say yes to the free t-shirt. Now, as you go around a college campus throughout the school year, you will inevitably see these words or hear these words, free t-shirt. Come to tonight's hockey game. Get a free t-shirt. Enter this drawing for a prize. Win a free t-shirt. Join our club. We have free t-shirts. If you ask me, nine times out of 10, go and get the free t-shirt. Sign up for the newsletter. Go to the club meeting. Cheer on the hockey team. Whatever it might be, use the free t-shirt as an invitation to go do something. Something fun. Something unexpected. In fact, there are way more free things on a college campus than just t-shirts. Free meals, free excursions, free books, gym memberships, computer programs, concert tickets, whatever it is, say yes to the invitation. Now, on the heels of a radical yes, we've also got number four. Don't be afraid to say no. No, you do not need to take extra classes. No, you do not need to sign up for every club. No, you do not need to go to every party. Your time is valuable and precious. So take care of it. Care for yourself and nurture yourself in a way that you want to, without the pressure or of some value or judgment that you or another person might be putting onto your life. But, Jonathan, how might you know? How am I supposed to know whether I am supposed to say yes to the free t-shirt or no? Number five, trust your gut. We are always making decisions. But college is a unique time when the decision-making process goes into overdrive. The decision-making tree splinters off wildly as each thing we do feels as though it will make some kind of monumental effect on our life and our future. One common pitfall of decision-making that I know I've fallen into is the idea that we think we can rationally think through any decision we have to make and choose the one that is the most beneficial for our goals. But sometimes we're faced with decisions that aren't so cut and dry. I remember my sophomore year when I had to figure out what to do for that summer. I had two choices. Do I do an environmental sustainability-related internship in the city? Or do I join my campus ministry group for a summer discipleship training at the beach? Both were options that resonated with who I was and who I wanted to be, but it felt like whatever choice I made would mean I was abandoning that other part of myself. I prayed and I prayed and I asked God to just make the decision easier, please. I ultimately made the decision that I believe was the right one, but it took a lot of struggles that I believe could have been avoided if I just listened to my gut and done what I'd wanted to do the entire time. Now, this is not to say you should abandon all other forms of advice or decision-making processes, but just do not be afraid to trust that you know what is best for you. Yes, you are still young. You are still young and you are learning, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just take a moment to listen to what your body is saying. Whether it's a feeling of unease or a feeling of excitement, there are times when trusting your gut can make the decision-making process all the easier. And perhaps, sometimes it is the case, as I have realized, that God is actually speaking to you and guiding you through your instincts and through your body. Now, while we're on the topic of our guts, number six, while you're in college, eat as many quesadillas, pizza, ice cream, whatever indulgent food it is of your choice might be. Trust me, you won't be able to eat that much any more longer, so enjoy it while it lasts. All right, that was an easy one. Number seven, before we go on, how are we feeling? How are we doing? Are we all present? Can you indulge me and take a moment to, can we do a breathing exercise together? I'm serious now. So what we're going to do, some circular breathing, okay? We're going to breathe in, we're going to hold it, and then we're going to breathe out. Okay, let's do it once. Breathe in, hold it, and breathe out. All right, one more time without me guiding. We'll just all right, everyone breathe. There it is, number seven. Don't forget to breathe. Seriously, sometimes all you need to do in a situation is to breathe a little more deeply and a little more slowly. Number eight. Now, this one will definitely take some trial and error for the students to figure out, but it's an important lesson to learn. There are going to be times when you will learn just as much about life and who you are and who you want to be, whether you're in the dining hall or in the classroom, whether you're sitting on the couches in the student union or working in your lab, playing games on the BU beach, or studying in the library. You'll learn just as much about yourself during late nights as early mornings, and time spent off campus versus time on campus. Yes, you are all at college to study and to learn, but that won't always happen in the places and spaces you might think it does. And a side note, and my apologies to the professors and to the parents in attendance, but let me say, that there will be times when it is okay not to go to class. Now, should you objectively be at every class? Yes. Yes, you should. But will there be times when, subjectively, there is something more important than going to class? Yes. Yes, there will be. Like I said, this one takes some trial and error to figure out. Now, to redeem myself in the eyes of the academics. Number nine, go to office hours. You know that period of time on the syllabus that a professor says they're willing to meet with you? Or maybe there's like a QR code outside their office that takes you to a scheduling link where you can meet with them one-on-one? Yeah, do that thing. Take them up on the offer and go to office hours. As one colleague of mine puts it, a professor's job is literally to know stuff and share it with people. They want to talk to you and to help you, but you have to go to them and let them know that you are interested in the first place. This same colleague says this to me, "Do you know what a professor does during office hours when no one is there? They literally just sit there, bored and a little sad. Spare a sad professor today and maybe learn something cool by going to office hours." And finally, number 10, less advice, more of a reminder. There is always someone who cares for you and is willing to sit, to stand, to walk, to sing, to cry and laugh with you. There will be days when it feels like you are the only one of 1,600 umpteen million students on this campus, and it feels like you are the only one who knows how you feel. You are the only one going through the things that you are going through. But whether this person is another student or staff member, a BU person or a non-BU person, you are not alone. Finding these people, your people, can be intimidating. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it takes a lot of time, sometimes you'll find each other immediately. The point is that there is someone who is willing to be there for you and to be kind with you. We are here for you, with you, to accompany you through whatever life at BU or in Boston might look like. Now, there you have it. I think if my count is right, 10 things that I would say to my younger self when he started college. A common theme that I hope you walk away with is this: abundance. College is a time of abundance, an abundance of people, of food, of learning, of slightly odd and niche opportunities. And if college can be a time this plentiful and inspiring, just imagine how abundant life outside of college can be as well. This is what God promises to each and every one of us, a life of abundance and not of scarcity. The question, though, might be this: how do we receive God's abundance in our lives? Today's gospel offers two examples. First, there are times when the opportunity for God's abundance in life comes to us and we have to claim it. As was the case with the Syrophoenician woman, maybe abundance, in this case, the healing of her daughter, is just within arm's reach, and yet someone is denying it and we cannot claim it for ourselves. Sometimes there is someone, as is the case with Jesus, who's saying, "Let the children be fed first." But as we see in this woman's dialogue with Jesus, she stands firm against the denial of healing for her daughter and talks back with faith, with resilience, and spunk in order to claim it. Like the Syrophoenician woman, sometimes our job is to claim that we live in a life of filled with abundance in order to receive it. And then there are times when our job is less to chase after or demand God's abundance, but simply let it wash over us. As happened with the healing of the deaf man, this individual did not demand Jesus' healing as much as Jesus offered it to him at the request of his community. But sometimes this process is messy. In this case, filled with spit and Jesus' fingers all up in ears and mouths. Can you imagine how confused this guy must have been? How much he might have struggled in confusion and disgust at what was going on? Sometimes we might want to stay where we are and the way we are rather than accept God's presence in our lives. But with a sigh, a single word, and a look up to the heavens, we are suddenly new and changed, and we can walk through this world in ways unimaginable before. Marsh Chapel, may we all seek after and accept God's abundance in our life, however it might appear to us. To the glory of God. Amen.